We begin today with Africa, as the Synod of Bishops for the continent continues reflections on the challenges facing the church in their nations. Jean-Baptiste Tumasemi has been following the deliberations up in the Vatican Synod Hall for us. He gives us some insight into the beginning of the second week of discussions.
The church in Africa needs to be self-reliant in order to grow and to carry forward its activities. This was one of the calls of the Synod Fathers at the second session of the discussions on Monday evening. The Synod Fathers noted with concern that due to lack of financial resources, the church in Africa depends on donor institutions and dioceses in developed countries to fund its activities. But some of the donors depend on the charity of other organizations for funds. When these organizations experience financial difficulties, the local churches in Africa experience the consequences. Besides, the Synod Fathers said the funds received usually are not enough to cover the major expenses of the particular churches. They called on the donor institutions to revise their policies and begin to invest in church projects that will generate funds that will help the local churches to stand on their own. The president of the Commission for the Church in the World of the German Catholic Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Ludwig Schick, who represented the German Catholic donor agencies, assured the bishops that his commission was interested in development partnership with the church in Africa and prayed that the relationship between the church in Germany and the church in Africa be maintained. He called on the bishops who have many priests to send some to Germany because the German church experiences a severe shortage of vocations to the priesthood. The session was addressed also by the Director General of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, Mr. Jack Diouf, who called upon the Synod Fathers to do more to promote food security in Africa.
In other speeches, bishops outlined additional challenges. Cardinal John Njue of Nairobi and president of Kenya's Episcopal Conference told his fellow bishops political corruption is one of the major scourges of the African continent. Many African nations, he said, struggle under bad governance, where unchecked hunger for power has led to impunity, corruption, manipulation of people, and other similar social political evils. This, he said, is what has impoverished the people across the continent. Calling bad governance the cancer of Africa, he called for immediate concrete action, even from outside the political sphere, to promote good governance. The cardinal's thoughts were echoed by Bishop Timothée Modibo Nzokene of Franceville, president of the Episcopal Conference of Gabon, who observed that Central Africa continues to be the theater of injustices, division, and untenable violence. This makes our present life difficult and mortgages the future of our countries. Poverty, he said, grasps most of the populations. Social evils are taking on an alarming breadth. He continued by saying the killings, rapes, thievery, and all types of violence are trivialized here. The consequences of this violence deeply permeates individuals and society, hearts being more often inhabited by sin than turned to conversion. Justice that creates life is derided. The truth that only can free us is in a bad way. To get out of this situation, he said, the reactions and cultures of justice and truth must be built. Well, Burundian Bishop Gervais Banshimi Ubuza of Ngozi spoke of the 15-year civil conflict that came to an end in 2008 in his country. In response to the cultural and moral disorientation that has ensued, the church in Burundi, he said, adopted a series of diocesan synods with the theme, "Let us convert to promote a culture of peace and reconciliation." The bishop encouraged diocesan synods to continue the theme of the World Assembly, saying they would involve the whole ecclesial family and even beyond so that the light may be visible. Well, members of the whole ecclesial family, the Universal Church, are participating at the African Synod here in the Vatican, and they've come from all over the world, a world away, in fact, from the continent of Africa. Bishop Peter Ingham, in fact, hails from as far away as Wollongong, south of Sydney, Australia. He's president of the Federation of Catholic Bishops' Conferences of the Oceania region. He spoke to Veronica Scarisbrick about why he's at the Synod in the first place and about the lessons he's learning from his African bishop brothers.
The Vatican divides the world up into various continents. And laughingly we say Oceania is like the liquid continent because most of it's water. The church, you know, Australia naturally is the biggest, but then New Zealand, Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands are one bishop's conference. But the Pacific Islands is just incredible. I mean, you start up at Guam and, you know, that's up near the, almost under the Philippines, Marianas, right through to Fiji, Vanuatu. You know, we have two languages, French, because there's French Polynesia and English.
At any rate, you're now in Rome and you're attending the Synod for Africa. Do you talk about far-flung places, but Africa is miles away from Oceania.
Well, of course, the reason I'm here is because the Pope appointed me. So as he appointed the representative of Asia and the representative of the of Europe and South America.
Universal Church.
Yes, so the Pope wanted to get the rest of the church engaged, so I'm the only one from that part of the world. And in my presentation the other day, I tried to sort of look to Africa and say, we can learn a lot from you. We have a lot of similar problems, but in a much smaller scale. I mentioned about Papua New Guinea and the question of AIDS, mining, you know, the
refugees also.
And refugees.
I mean, you have African refugees in your...
Oh, yes, in Australia, yes, yes. But then, you know, when you look at those other places, we can learn a lot. We've got a lot of political unrest in the Pacific, which has happened in recent years. Fiji currently is under martial sort of law, and it doesn't look like it's going to change in a hurry. But, you know, trying to sort of see this tranquil Pacific island resorts, which for many Australians were great holiday destinations, to see the turmoil that's happened there in the last 10, 15 years has been incredible as each nation struggles with independence and its own internal political systems. So we've seen a lot of that happen, but nowhere on the scale of Africa. But I tried to draw some parallels. And also, you know, the fact that we were colonised as Africa, most of Africa was, the witness of faith by the missionaries who came and very heroically living in isolation and yet spreading the faith. Some of them have been martyrs. Peter Chanel was the first martyr of Oceania, and he was in the seminary with people like John Vianney and Marcelin Champagnat. You know, he comes from a very interesting background, these people. But, you know, they gave their lives and they went to these outposts in order to spread the faith. And so that witness of martyrs and saints and missionaries, again, smaller scale, but similar. So I sort of tried to draw some of those things. But I do believe we can learn a lot from Africa. I mean, their peace and reconciliation tribunals that they've had in South Africa, for example.
Post-apartheid.
That's right, yes. You know, and some of the great stands that the church has taken in Africa in order to produce a more just outcome and to fight for the rights of the people. And that's what we're grappling with at this synod now. How do we continue that? How does the church keep up its moral influence and make a difference so that, you know, truth, which has been emphasised a lot in the synod so far, because if you don't have truth, how can you have justice? How can you have reconciliation? And the danger is, of course, people want to disseminate and use their own tricks in order to stay in power for all the wrong reasons, you know. So the church comes in, you know, with the gospel in order to try and bring light and be the salt of the earth and to try and make a difference.
This is a new experience for you, is it, to be attend a synod for a different continent, is it?
Oh, yes, it is, yes. I was at the synod for Oceania we had in 1998, and the last synod I was at was last year at the one for the Word. But this one is fascinating because, you know, I look around and, of course, you know, we come from an Anglo background, we're in the minority. And to meet these committed people and to see their faith and their knowledge and their great commitment, it's really inspiring to me.
What are your impressions so far apart from what you've just said. Is there anything in particular that struck you? Just one example.
Yes, to hear some of those bishops talk about bishops and priests who have been murdered, who've really become martyrs in modern times. You know, one of them very pointedly spoke about one of his predecessors. He went out to be peacemaker and just was cut down. There was a story of a nuncio who was killed, again, trying to be the peacemaker and the bridge of reconciliation. Those sorts of stories really arrest your attention and make you realise that this is a game for keeps. And, you know, what we bring is the hope of the gospel. And as Christians, we deal in hope.
Bishop Peter Ingham is from Wollongong, from Australia, and president of the Federation of Catholic Bishops' Conferences for the Oceania region.